Yeah, we're doing this as a little bit of a bonus thing since we missed a week due to the move to Japan, which I am now recording from. We are still going to do the continuation of the DM workshop for, you know, doing other stuff, but now since the guys are leveling up pretty soon, and since it's something that like they didn't really look into at all, we're going to be talking about Paragon paths. So, you may be wondering, what's a Paragon path? Well, in D&D 4E, basically the big milestones for character level development are, you know, you got your stage between level 1 and level 10, which is heroic, where you got you guys are just running around being heroes, doing hero shit. You're still cool guys, but you're heroes, right? You're like big heroes. You're not quite like, you know, crazy status. But once you hit level 11 and above, you're paragons. You get to the paragon status and you pick a paragon path. And what this represents is that you start to like eke out your niche as like what you are known for, what you are going to be remembered for. Like, this is your thing. This is something that nobody else does. You're the first person to do it, or you're the absolute best who has ever lived at it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, this is
when you start
your
being
thing.
Like, you know, years from now, someone's going to be like, oh, yeah, I remember that. I remember that Dr. Normstrom.
Like, this is where you get to that legendary status, right?
Yeah. Paragon paths are really interesting because very few D&D games actually reach this point unless they're dedicated. Like, getting to level 11 takes a while. And
yeah, starting from level 1.
Yeah, since a lot of... not everybody starts from level 1, but the interesting thing is that since so many games collapse before this ever happened, not very many people have experience with it. I don't have that much experience with it, but it's really interesting from a character perspective because a lot of times when you first design your character, you are not thinking about where do I want this guy to end up? What would he want to be? What would his ideal self be? So when you start thinking about Paragon paths, it actually opens a lot of really interesting roleplay potential for your character now as they begin to see themselves as, you know, more powerful than just some guy.
Right. It's something to build towards, right? Because if you just go up to level 11, you're like, I want to do this thing now, and you've got no build up to it, it feels really sudden. Like, I played in exactly one game that made it to Paragon, and we ended it on level 11. Like, we got to use our Paragon stuff for one fight, which was pretty cool, but, you know, still. But, so, what we're going to do here to go through it is we're going to go through Patton and see what we're thinking he's going to be like as he gets up towards that area, because we got some, like, you know, was talking to Ted, and he had some ideas about where he wanted the character to go that were pretty interesting, but that require a lot of forethought to actually make work. So since he's gonna hit level 4 pretty soon, we wanted to start thinking about Paragon paths and where he wanted the character to go. And Tad had some ideas about what he wanted the character to do that are actually pretty hard to get to work mechanically, but doable. But they require some forethought, right?
Yeah, both from a lore standpoint and mechanic wise.
Right. So Tad wanted Patton to go down the route more of tech, like really, really getting into the nitty-gritty of technology, specifically with his, you know, he's got his little drone, little bro, and he wanted to start making that smaller and smaller and smaller and really start trying to get some fine control over that sort of thing. Some nanobot sort of meme going on.
Yeah. I want Patton to be able to, like, really get, because using a scalpel, yeah, it's sharp. It's kind of, you know, it's kind of precise. But if it was a lot smaller, like, get in there a little bit closer, you know, just a little bit in there. I want to be more specific about what I'm doing here.
Right, like, because, you know, you saw all the autodoc shit.
Yeah, like, that shit was crazy.
Right, you want to be able to do that without needing the facility, right? You want to take their tech and improve on it, go further.
Which nobody has done in this setting. The autodoc was, like, the pinnacle of medical technology.
Yeah, that was, like, the hardest thing you could find right now. So, what we were thinking of doing to do that is starting from here, you're probably going to start multi-classing into wizard, right?
Mm-hmm.
So at level 4, you can take the Arcane Initiate feat, which gives you a wizard at willpower that you can use as an encounter power, right? Which you can take whichever one of these billions of fucking powers you want as your encounter at will. You know, wizards get a lot of controllery sort of things, so that's not the important stuff right now. You know, might take something like some phantasmal assaults or some Ray of Frosts, things like that. But the way that multiclassing works in D&D 4E is that you take a feat to multiclass, and then you are considered that class for the purpose of feats and like specific requirements. So something says like, "Oh, this is only accessible by wizards." You're a wizard now, right?
Yeah.
Oh hell yeah! But I'm rolling with the wizards now.
Up to some serious whiz biz.
Be all zap, motherfucker.
That is a good comic that they can't see because this is an audio podcast.
It's classic.
It is.
Link in the description.
What you can do, though, is that on every subsequent feat choice, as you start to level up further and further, you can take feats that let you swap out powers from your main class to your multi-class class, right?
Mm-hmm.
So first you get to swap out a encounter power, then a utility, and then eventually a daily, which you at like level 10. You can swap out one of your level 9 daily for a level 9 wizard daily, right?
Yeah.
So that's all the powers and stuff that'll come up as they come up. And you don't really have to decide on those now, but the thing that you want to make a choice on that really determines those power choices and things is your Paragon path. So if you multiclass, you're considered a wizard for the purpose of Paragon paths as well. At Paragon paths, you get a bunch of different options, and they all do crazy nonsense. Like, they all seem kind of broken, right? So, the couple that we were looking at that you were kind of picking and choosing between were probably, like, Battle Engineer and Bonded Summoner, right?
Yeah.
So, Battle Engineer is the Artificer power that is just straight up doing everything that an Artificer does, but way better, right? And one of the big features about Paragon Pass is that they introduce something that happens when you spend an action point. Basically all of them, to my understanding, do this. So for the Battle Engineer, it's called Aggressive Action, which is when you spend an action point to take an extra action, you get a +1 bonus to weapon attack rolls until the end of the next turn, and your weapon attacks deal 1d6 extra damage until the end of your next turn. So you get to start dealing some big boy damage, right? And at 11 level 2, you get a Battle Enchantment, which is basically a feat, which is whenever one of your Artificer or Battle Engineer powers grants an ally a bonus to weapon damage rolls, that ally's weapon also becomes Brutal 1 until the bonus ends. If that weapon is already Brutal, this has no effect, which means if they roll a 1, they get to re-roll it.
Brutal is probably my favorite weapon effect, just because of all the times that it ends up... It's so satisfying when you roll a 1 and you see it and you get to re-roll it.
And then Elias fucks it up again.
Shut up.
Yeah,
shut
if
up.
You've got a big-ass great axe and it's a 1d12 and you roll a 1 on it and you re-roll it into like a 10 or something, it feels great.
Yeah, there's nothing more disappointing than having one of those big-ass weapons that you roll like a d10 or a d12 for and then you hit a 1 on it. It just feels like you're swinging cardboard. But then with Brutal, you get to re-roll those and, you know, when you land the 11 or the 12, it's like, oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah. It's good. Feel strong.
Then you got at 16th level you get accurate enchantment or accurate enhancement rather. Whenever one of your Artificer or Battle Engineer powers grants a bonus to weapon attack rolls to an ally, that bonus increases by 2. So nobody misses ever again.
Yeah, because that's like so I use greater magic weapon. That's a plus fucking like.
Yeah,
oh
yeah.
God.
Well, yeah, let's get to Greater Magic Weapon, which is really the selling point of this one, is you got is standard action attack intelligence plus 3 versus AC, so it's accurate as hell. Hit two weapon plus int modifier damage. Effect: each ally adjacent to you gains a power bonus to attack rolls and damage rolls equal to your wisdom modifier until the end of your next turn. Wisdom or con, in Patton's case, wisdom, and that'll be like a plus 5.
Yeah, right? And that attack, by the way, it's not intelligence modifier. It's just straight up intelligence plus 3, which is like, yeah, that's pretty goddamn
well,
good.
No, yeah. No, the intelligence plus 3 does mean you're in modifier. It's your regular weapon.
Oh, attack. Okay. I was about to say, like, that sounds nuts.
It's your regular weapon. Yeah, no, it's your regular weapon attack plus 3. So, you know, you have, like, a plus 10 or whatever hit right now. If you just swap this in right now, it would just be a plus 13. Flat.
Okay,
which
okay.
Which is insane. You know? Then, as the 12, you get something that I can't pronounce. Fleeting Dwemer? Dwemer?
Dwemer?
Dwemer? It's a minor action. One, it targets one weapon or implement in the burst. You infuse the target with arcane energy. Choose a damage type: acid, cold, fire, force, lightning, or thunder. All, basically all of them. The target deals extra damage of this type equal to your int modifier until the end of the encounter. Until the end of the encounter, whenever the target's wielder scores a critical hit with the weapon, the target of the attack gains 10 ongoing damage of the damage type you chose. Save ends. So this is very much like... like, these already are very much, you know, Patton going beyond, you know, scrapping shit together to really making stuff his own, right?
Yeah. They go beyond pending patents.
Yeah, this is when you start making things, like, this is when you start making high-tech things. Like, real high-tech things.
Yeah, I'm not scrapping together bullshit, like, lime powder pretending it's delouser. You know, I'm not putting fucking anti-leech delouser on people.
No,
I'm
this is, like, legit.
Like, I actually this put time and tech. Research into these.
It's still, like, the same patent shit where it's probably weird and scrapped together and all
oh,
that.
Oh, for sure.
But it works better than things that people, you know, that, like, old humans made, right? It just works better than it. You're enhancing on designs rather than trying to emulate.
Yeah, I think in terms of like lore and how to think about how this kind of stuff works, the best way is a lot of times when people are designing characters before Paragon Path, you always design yourself as how you fit into the world. Like, what is your character in relation to the world? But when you start getting to Paragon, you should start thinking about how does my character change the world? Like,
right,
how does my character
exactly.
make the world different? Because before, it's, you know, the world has effects on me, and I'm shaped by my surroundings. But once you reach this Paragon status, you've elevated yourself, and now it's, how do I begin to shape the world the way I want it to be?
Right. So, all of these, the nice thing about the Battle Engineer path is that it's just very aggressive, but it leaves everything very open to flavor, right? All of these are just things. You can have these effects be whatever you want. They don't need to be like, I made a better crossbow, or
yeah.
I made a powder that goes on a weapon and now it's really cold.
Yeah, a lot of times people get caught. I mean, we've harped on this a lot, but you don't have to take what the mechanics describe the effect to be as sacred. Like, if it says, you know, it's a superior magic weapon imbued with arcane energy, you can just have it be a really cool implement that I built, or a swarm of nanobots, or a sentient ball of bats that you throw at people.
Yeah,
it doesn't
even if
matter.
Even if it's as simple as, like, the, oh god, what is the reskinned car battery? I don't remember what that, spike wire. Even if it's just as simple mm-hmm. as, like, it's force damage. Just tie someone up in some barbed wire and then shock them. All right, that's good. And it works in, like, I just, like, okay, what would Patton scavenge? What could kind of work with something similar like that without being too constricting?
Car battery.
Ah, yeah, close enough. That works. Yeah. You know?
So,
even if it's just as small
level
as
20,
that.
The level 20 big attack is Persistent Spheres, which is complicated. It's a weapon zone attack. You have to use a melee weapon with this, which, again, like, this is something that leads into where is this character going to go, because, like, you know, you do have the ability with your arcane familiar to swap weapons, So, like, with getting more things that necessitate melee weapons, you might start to invest more into getting more melee weapons, right?
Yeah.
Like, and right now, all I got is a staff. I got a wooden stick to keep people away from me.
Right. So that's the thing, is that going into these, you go, okay, at level 20, I get something that's really good. I get something that's really good that requires a melee weapon. I better figure out how to get a melee weapon, right?
Yeah.
So what it does is it's intelligence versus AC, 3d10 plus in modifier damage, and if the target doesn't move at least 2 squares during its turn, it takes 10 damage at the end of its turn, save ends. A miss basically halved effect. It takes 5 damage at the end of your turn, save ends, same effect. And effect, the attack creates a zone of painful motes, cut nanomachines in a burst 2 centered on the target. The zone lasts until the target saves against this power. When the target moves, the zone moves with it, remaining centered on it. Any enemy that starts its turn within the zone takes 5 damage and grants combat advantage while within the zone.
There's so just a fog of nanomachines.
Yeah, exactly. And they're just like burrowing into their skin and stuff, and they just need to run to get them away from them. But the more they run, the more problems it causes. Right? Because you can kind of funnel things and it starts like doing cool controller shit. So that's Battle Engineer. The other option that leads in with some of the melee weapon shit and all of that is, since you're going down the wizard path, and the wizards have a ton of summons that are really good and do a lot of the things that you want to do. Like, specifically, what Tad wanted to do was be able to dominate creatures. Use the dominate keyword, where you control them
dominate
on their turn.
Disgusting.
It is disgusting. You get to control the enemy on their turn. It's basically it's better than stunning them, which is already insanely good. Because not only do they not get to take any actions that they want to do, you get to make them attack their friends or run off a cliff or whatever.
Put them into
bad positions.
The thing is that you DMs have to be careful with the dominate thing, because you can't just let everybody say, I dominate them, kill yourself.
Yeah, no, that actually doesn't work. Specifically within the rules, it doesn't work. They can only take at will actions when they're dominated.
Yeah.
And no, killing yourself is not an at will action.
Says you.
So, the other one that we were looking at is Bonded Summoner, which is a wizard path, which has summoner's action. When you spend an action point to take an extra action as a free action, you can issue one minor action command to each of your summoned creatures, which you currently don't have any. However, coming up on a level 5, actually, there's a dancing weapon as the artificer ability, as an artificer power you can get, where you just throw out a weapon, right? You just throw a weapon out there, you have it get controlled, like maybe you just give it to Lil Bro, just give him like a big old stick or sword or something, and he just goes off swinging it.
That's good. Just give him a stick.
I'll get him one of those, and here we go. Dr. Robo had those messed up saw hands. Hey, one of those could fit pretty well in Lil Bro there.
Like, you could give him like a great axe or something, right?
Yeah, he just has a sharp piece of metal.
Yeah. You throw a melee weapon you are holding into an unoccupied square within range. The weapon has speed 0 and fly 6, hover. The weapon is considered to be a small creature. When the dancing weapon drops to 0 hit points, it is not destroyed and you don't lose the healing surge. Instead, the weapon returns to your hand. Dancing weapon cannot open a door or open or close a door or container, or pick up or drop an item. No shit. You can give the dancing weapon the following commands. Minor action, melee 1, intelligence versus AC, 1 weapon plus int modifier damage. So basically, you just get to start smacking shit every turn as a minor action.
Hell yeah.
You just get to start smacking shit. Like, whap, 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 whap. And it can take opportunity attacks.
Ooh.
So you just give Lil Bro a big ol' axe or something, you just go whap, 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 and just have it start smacking shit, man. You know, and this gives you things to do on minor actions, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, one of the other things is that as you get going further and further and you start taking newer and newer powers, right, eventually you can retrain powers. And one of the ones you were looking at was,
It was retraining
level 9. Yeah, they'll retrain the level 9 daily. So you're going to have a level 9 artificer daily for a level that you're then going to retrain into probably summon succubus, mm-hmm. which can be reflavored, which can be reflavored, of course, into summon just shit That's tons hot. Of nanomachines. So it summons a medium creature
and an octopod
square. Yes. It has a speed 6, fly 6, and resist 10 fire, which makes sense because robots. Right?
Flying
standard action, fire. Ranged 5, targets 1 creature, int versus will, 1d10 plus int modifier damage, and the target is dominated until the end of your next turn.
Those robots dominated. Get in it.
So, like, you get dominated by a succubus bot?
Yes, that is in fact what happens.
Whew.
The target can't be dominated by the succubus again this encounter once the domination ends.
See, the confusing thing was, when I first started playing this game, I wanted to play a robot succubus, but Dan said it was a bad idea. Now he's a flip-flopper.
One? You never requested that? If you had requested it, I wouldn't have let you play. And two, fuck you.
A well-made point.
I want you to have the nanobots take the form of a larger succubus robot.
Can you guys not?
Can we make this happen?
Oh, can I introduce you to my friend Dave? Sorry about the odd smell around him there.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, the thing about summons, right,
mm-hmm.
is that you can use your actions to make them take other actions, right? But if you don't give them any actions on your turn, they do something intrinsically. They just do something, which is, if you haven't given the succubus any commands by the end of your turn, it shifts 1 square and attacks the nearest enemy within range that is not dominated. In addition, you are dazed until the end of your next turn because you're offloading. Because if you don't give them any commands, you're offloading the processing power to the swarm, right? Like, it takes a lot of attention away from you to try and control all this shit. Makes sense. And symbiosis. While the summon succubus is present, each creature you hit with a basic or at-will attack takes a -4 penalty to attack rolls made against you until the end of its next turn. So that's just gravy. Right? And
I do enjoy my gravy when I'm talking about my robot succubi.
It is specifically that those two powers, really,
mm-hmm.
that make Bonded Summoner really appealing.
Yeah. I mean, like, summons and stuff for 4E are really cool, I think.
Yeah, they're really cool and fun. Because there aren't a ton of ways normally that you can cheat on getting multiple attacks per turn, outside of being a ranger or a rogue with minor action attacks, which are fucking broken. And notice we don't have any rangers or rogues in the party?
Yeah, Twin Strike.
Twin Strike, and all of the ranger and rogue minor action attacks that are like...
What was that, ranger
it's
attack?
It's an encounter power.
Split
the tree? That one's okay.
That's pretty good.
Man, imagine all those, because they count as individual attacks, so all of the...
They all count as individual attacks. It's pretty gross for
plus
for
8,
buffs.
Plus 8, plus 4, plus 4, plus 4.
Ooh. Yep.
Data.
Yep. But, so, Bonded Summoner is really, like, all in on those summons. It's just like, let's go. Hell yeah. Like, Dancing Weapon is my shit. Let's go. So, when you spend an action point to take an extra action as a free action, you can issue one minor action command to each of your summoned creatures. If you remember, Dancing Weapon's attack was a minor. So you get to action point to make an attack, and then you get to hit somebody with a sword again. Sick. And then Summoner Slip, when you use an arcane power that is the conjuration or summoning keyword, you can teleport 2 squares as a free action after using the power.
I just kind of swoosh over there and get undercover.
Yeah, then at level 16, creatures you summon gain regeneration 10, making them, like, impossible to kill.
I'm assuming then, that's, you regain 10 HP every time that start of your turn?
Yeah, the creatures that you summon did that.
Ooh.
So, then for the actual attacks, you get planar gateway, which is you conjure a planar gateway that occupies one square within range and lasts till the end of your next turn. You use a planar gateway attack power using the gateway square as the origin square, which is it's an opportunity attack close burst one. So if things move near it, like it's just a big old, like, you know, this is like a big old machining factory for a bunch of garbage or whatever you make. The creature starts its turn adjacent to the planar gateway or enters a square adjacent to the planar gateway. Int versus reflex, close burst one, yeah. And then hit 3d6 plus int modifier damage, and you slide the target three squares. So you just get to set down this, like, you know, hive swarm of your little bugs or whatever.
Yeah.
And then just go, anything that enters here is getting fucked up, right?
It's essentially, it's almost like if I design little robots, you know, these littler bros as little bees, and then this is their hive.
Yeah, little bees. Yeah, basically.
Yeah, sometimes you move them from one hive to the other.
You got little bro, then, you got little bees.
You know, sometimes they swap hives.
I don't get your joke.
You don't want to. You don't want to get it. Let him live in ignorance. Oh, I got it immediately.
Hive swap. Fuck you. So, at level 12, you get Enduring Summons, which is you get to heal one of your summons. You just get a heal on your summons, which is pretty good. And then at level 20, you get Bigger Bro.
You've met Little Bro. Here's
now meet Big Bro. Oh, you summon a large bro. Bonded protector in an unoccupied 2x2 square within range. The bonded protector has reach 2 and a speed of 5, has +4 bonus to AC and +4 bonus to will. You can give the bonded protector the following special commands: standard action, close blast 3, each creature in blast, 2d4 plus int modifier, and the target is dazed. Save ends.
Yowza.
So it just. You just have a mass taser that you can just fire off all the time. And then opportunity action. Targets one creature. 2d6 plus int modifier damage, and the target is knocked prone. The bonded protector can make this opportunity attack against a creature that attacks you or that attacks a creature you summoned. Ooh. So you just stand next to your robot, and Ooh. If anything tries to hit you or your summons, no. No, 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 no. And then as a minor action, you could swap positions with Big Bro.
Oh, it just straight up shoves them on the ground.
Yeah, it just shoves them.
Just so doesn't back off, nerd. That's awesome.
See, that's the thing. Is that Bonded Summoner, though, Bonded Summoner is going really hard on the summons. And it's a bit trickier to play. So Battle Engineer is just straight up good, right? Like, it's just straight up good shit. Patton's becoming, like, you know, the best at tech. All of this shit. Like, you've learned all these secrets. You start making crazy nonsense. Bonded Summoner is, look at my swarm. Look at my swarm of nanobots. Look at this shit. Making robots. Robots, robots, robots. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, Bonded Summoner is straight up, Patton is a roboticist.
I've seen the future, and it is Chrome.
Yeah. Nice. So, like, Battle Engineer, you can still take the summons and go Battle Engineer, just to have more straight-up power. And then Bonded Summoner gives you more, like, it gives you the Bonded Protector, which is really good and cool. And it gives you, you know, Planar Gateway, which is really good and cool. And it lets you, you know, do the minor action. Like, it gives you better, like, move economy. Because you can spend minor actions whenever you action point.
Mm-hmm.
So, the Bonded Summoner is, like, specializing in that stuff. Whereas the Battle Engineer is being more just, I'm great at all of this shit. Including summoning. But going down the summoner route is, like, this is what I'm good at. This is my thing.
Yeah, so going down the Bonded Summoner, Patton goes more into the, you know, I have seen the future, and it is Chrome. Shed your meat bodies. This is fan. Look at this crazy shit I could do with these little bros. Look at them go. The battle engineer is more battle engineer for Patton, at least the way that I, you know, would kind of flavor is just more like he's looking at what old humans have made, their technology, and improving upon it in his own unique kind of way, adding in magic onto, yeah, these patents are no longer pending. I crack my knuckles.
Right, like this would lead you down more of the route of being like the best engineer or like, you know, the best R&D engineer anybody's ever seen.
Yeah, like I'm able to start looking at, you know, start looking at these, you know, these pre-rock, you know, schematics, all the shit that the old world humans were putting together. And then, you know, maybe a little help from the inside of my brain pan there. So I got, you know, it's kind of filled up on space there. Get some assistance from there and start figuring these things out more, finding ways in which I can improve on them and make them even better. You know, fix all these flaws of how sometimes when you use this thing, it doesn't kill the person. So let me go ahead and fix that. And I'll just go ahead and use it on them. See, it's easy.
Yeah. So, you know? The other thing is that Battle Engineer is more straightforward. It's easier to use. You just, like, the abilities are just straight, solid, good. Whereas Bonded Summoner is tricky. It's all tricky-dicky. You gotta, like, move stuff around. It's really in-depth with the mechanics. So, if that's something that you really want to do, if you want to be, like, if you want your turn to be more like tactician-y, where you go, move this thing here, move this thing here, everybody attack now, let's go, then yeah, Bonded Summoner is awesome, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you like doing more like, I'm Patton, I do this thing, right? Then Battle Engineer is the way to go. If you want it to be a bit easier, bit less complicated, and just more straight powerful. Because Greater Magic Weapon is insane.
I believe the way that Patton would go, well, definitely nanobots are cool as shit. I believe that Battle Engineer is the path that Patton would go on. Looking at the old world tech, old world medicine, improving upon it, making it better.
It's always important to look at, there's you can play creatively with pretty much all of the Paragon paths, like,
mm-hmm.
There's always a few token paths that are just garbage. Like, there's always a couple of spells, like, or a couple of abilities that you're just like, what the fuck, this is terrible. Like, I don't know. There's always one that's like, for the remainder of the encounter, gain a +1 to bluff checks against four-legged creatures. This is a daily.
Yeah, like, there's, you know, like, there's, like, a familiar bloodsmith here or whatever. That's just like, what are you doing?
But it's also, going off of that, the point is it's always important to think about what your character would do and not just think about, like, what you think is rad. Because what you think is rad is cool at the moment. Like, you may be 100% sold on some ability or some Paragon path, but you don't know how much better the roleplay and how much better, like, the stories that you can create would be if you picked a path that was more in line with what your character's end game goals are. Like, you don't want to lock yourself into a really cool path that works mechanically but doesn't quite work as well thematically, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think more than just the mechanics of the game, you can have a lot more fun. You can have a lot more fun playing thematically than just mechanically.
Yeah, that's a big thing. Is that really? It all comes down to what you want to do with the character in terms of the actual flavor. Like, and that's the nice thing about Battle Engineer is that it's just really, it's solid, good, and pretty neutral as far as it's solid and pretty neutral as far as the flavor goes. Like, it doesn't lock you into any specific thing. It just gives you a bunch of good bonuses.
Yeah. And I mean, if I, you know, I really like the idea of the nanobots, I could still easily.
You can still do it.
Work that into, like, this entirely.
Yeah. You know? Like, you're still planning on going down Wizard no matter what. Like, you're still planning on going into Wizard, maybe taking Dancing Weapon, maybe not. but probably taking the succubus thing for the dominate because you really wanted to do that. And it's really good. But, you know, like, that's just, you know, the swapping out of powers and things that you can do is just really strong with the multi-classing. For a lot of characters, spending that many feats on multi-classing is a bit of a tax, but Patton doesn't have a ton of feats that he's, like, super looking for. There's just, like, little things that would be nice.
Yeah.
So I think this is a good route for the character, especially to make the character more fun to play. Because it, the thing that I learned when I was playing Artificer, because I've played an Artificer before, is you really don't have that many choices for powers because they did not give the class that much love.
They've got some real sick abilities in Magic Weapon, just being like, hey guys, go ape shit. You know?
No, yeah, Magic Weapon is like, that's why you play an Artificer, basically, is that Magic Weapon is insanity and, like, has a power level equal to an encounter power on an at will.
Yeah, it's kind of nuts, though.
Like, that's really the big thing, but once you start taking in some, you know, wizard powers and stuff, and really going in on the tech, and the addition of the wizard powers lets you get more tech shit. Like, for example, with your arcane initiate power, if you chose, say, I don't know, what's something good, like freezing burst, or is that what it's called? I think that's what it's called.
I talk about the utility power or the encounter power at level 7.
When you multi-class into wizard, you also get a wizard at will as an encounter power.
Oh, okay.
So, for example, there's something like Beguiling Strands, which is a close blast 5, each enemy in blast that just deals, you know, imp modifier psychic damage, and you push the target 3 squares. And I'm sure you can already think about, like, 5 different little gizmos that Patton could make to make that sort of effect, right?
Yeah.
Or, like, you know, you've got Hypnotism, right? Where choose one of the following attacks, the target makes it uses a free action to make a melee basic attack against a creature of your choice with a +4 power bonus to the attack roll, or you slide the target up to 3 squares as a standard action attack, which is also, again, you could really think of a billion ways to do that, right?
Yeah, I still have like 2.5 pages of names that I haven't even touched yet.
Yeah, so, you know, there's something like 30 wizard at will powers, and how many for artificers? 5?
Boy howdy, yeah. It's almost like the guys who designed this game really fucking like wizards.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like it's in their name. And then for the artificers, you've got thundering armor and magic weapon.
Yeah, you're never gonna not take magic weapon. If you don't take magic weapon, what the hell is wrong with you?
Yeah, it's kind of like a, I want to make my character bad.
I'll tell you right now, if you're not taking magic weapon, you're being an aggravating force.
That's another power.
It's pretty funny. We have fun here.
It's pretty
here.
Bad power.
You know, we have fun here.
We have fun here. So, anyway, we can work more on the powers and stuff when you get to them, but it's nice to know where he's going, right?
Now, for what everyone's been waiting for, where is Elias going? I can't tell you. It's all secret.
It's all secret because you're being secret guy.
It's going to be cool. Don't worry about it.
From what I understand, he's starting to see the light of God, you know, really thinking about going paladin there. Maybe get a shotgun.
Yeah, he's multi-classing into paladin.
Actually, Specky's going to
turn into a cowboy hat.
Specky's going to turn into a horse, and he's going to be John's sidekick.
God, that would be horrifying.
Let's go.
Oh,
geez. Rowdy, let's go wrestle us up some. God, what is cowbangers a thing? Is that like people steal cows?
I feel like that's an old-timey thing.
That's like an old-timey... Cow wrestlers? There's something
wrestlers.
Like that.
Are you thinking of cattle rustlers?
I think cattle wrestlers is what I was thinking, not cowbangers.
You made a little oopsie there.
It's the most unfortunate Freudian slip.
Yeah.
Don't look at his search history.
Jesus. Everything Elias is doing is going to be a secret. You'll find out later. Don't worry about it. Okay. Now let's finish out this episode.
Let's go ahead and do it.
It's good.
All right.
But yeah, I mean, that's, you know, that is Paragons in a nutshell there.
It's just a little aside, since we don't have an episode for you guys this week, but we're going to get back on schedule.
Yeah, this should go up, like, just a couple of days after we were normally supposed to have an episode, right?
Yeah. We'll be able to get that. We'll get one up there.
Okay. Good.
I want to thank you guys for listening in. We'll get you your quality Dungeons and Dragons content. High quality. The highest of quality. Some would say.
The highest of quality.
I would say so. And that just because I make it.